Welcome back to the Dog Gone Wrong podcast, where myself and others share their mistakes and help you lift the guilt burden. I'm your host, Sarah Roper, the multi-dog maven. Hello and welcome. I am sorry this pod is, I suppose it's going to be like half a day late. I did record something and I just waffled on more so than normal, so I decided to just scrap that and had a brainwave for today. So I am going to kind of tell you about what happened this weekend, and then I'm going to share with you one of my presentations, which is all about multi-dog management. So if you have got multiple dogs, or you're considering having multiple dogs, or adding one to your current group of dogs, then all things to think about. And also, if you've got multiple dogs, just things that will help you along with the management, because it's more about management than anything else. So I do have, I know I've said this before, but I have some really like exciting guests coming, and we are recording towards the end of the month. Everyone just seems to wanted to have booked in before Christmas for well after Christmas, which is fine. So you are stuck with me solo once again. So this last weekend, I've been on a 2-week induction with the new job, and that has meant that I've been working away from home. That's meant that the dogs have not really, you know, they've had basics. They've had someone coming into them. I've seen them at weekends, but they've, you know, we've not had all the training and the activities and the stuff that we'd usually be doing. And I haven't been to rally classes for a number of months. And I think that's been nice, really. As in, that's been nice about it's a number of months. It's probably like over 6 months now since I've been to a rally class. But the aim is to get back at it. It's just been crazy with job switches and things like that. But we had a obedience competition booked in, which happened to be a rally competition as well. And before Christmas, I thought, do you know what, sod it, I'll enter all three of the girls. That's Mizzle, Ripple and the young Labrador, Ada. Fully expecting to not be able to work them all, but at least I'd have the option, because obviously the team comes first and it just depends how it works out with timings. And I thought, even if I work one of the girls, that'd be a bonus, at least because I've entered them, I've got the option to. Very, very cold indoor riding arena, which of course it's going to be cold at this time of year. And when I got there, I was absolutely exhausted, just like brain exhausted after being on induction for 2 weeks, and thought, I can't actually see me taking any of the girls in. I'll just concentrate on doing the team. Also, the weekend before, we did have a training session for the team. And after doing a whole season or all year doing heats where each of the dogs were doing their specific set exercises, we thought, you know what, we'll give it a go. We'll change the exercises for this heat, because this is more like a trial run before Crufts, as in the points from this weekend's competition go towards next year's Crufts. They don't actually make any effect to this year's Crufts. And it's the last competition before Crufts. And we have made it to Crufts, which is very exciting. And we do also, while I'm thinking about it, we do also now have a Facebook page. So if you go to Dactastic Obedience Team on Facebook, you will see what we're up to. We've only set that up in the last few days, so still kind of populating it. But please do go over and have a look. So I managed somehow. I just thought, okay, I'll get Ripple in. And she's in level 3. And she's not, I think she's only done one level 3. She wasn't great, but she was tired. It was another day when we'd been doing obedience. But this was before actually doing obedience at the show on Sunday. And she went in and she absolutely smashed it. I was totally taken aback. And, you know, I said to a few people on the day, I didn't deserve to have the dog that I worked that day, because recently I haven't been putting the work in. I've not been able to. And she just pulled it out of the bag. Obviously, her joint supplements that I've just changed to are massively helping, because she does get a little bit stiff in her hock due to a little incident that she had when she was 8 or 9 weeks old. So that's always kind of an underlying concern. It's cold weather. She's 7.5. But yeah, she absolutely smashed it. She came fourth. She got an excellent score. I was just like, amazing. Just totally chuffed. Then it was like literally out the ring, grab an Ada off one of my teammates and go straight in with Ada. Now Ada's 14 and a half months. She's a real baby and it's only her second actual competition. And she went in, and while, you know, I know she can do better, you know, we're always hard on ourselves and our own dogs, she somehow managed to get an excellent score. Dead pleased with her. It's very hard for an adolescent, especially exuberant Labrador, to focus in those kind of environments without any rewards in the ring. So yeah, couldn't be more pleased. Then we went in with the team. We all changed our we didn't know whether we were going to stick with these changes for the day, and we just thought, well, we'll try it. You know, we've got nothing to lose. All the dogs did better than what they have all last season. So I think we have some decisions to make as for Gruffs, but really pleased with them all. And we actually placed fourth, which we managed 1/4 last year. That's our highest kind of placing with the current team. And we managed a fourth last year, and that was the day that I dragged Moss out of retirement because Mizzle was in season. So it was nice actually for Mizzle to be part of that this time. It really, really made me smile. And then while we're waiting for the results for the team, they put Mizzle in, went in level 2, and she was just brilliant, amazing. She was with me, she was happy. I mean, she is, you know, she's a dog that works happy anyway, but she was fab. She only lost 2 marks out of a possible 210, and she placed 3rd. I was just like, wow. And there have been times with Mizzle that I've thought of, you know, is it worth it? Is the sport worth it? You know, I've had those kind of, but I think that's just more being me being overwhelmed with everything else rather than the sport or the dogs. So that's obviously G'd me on to carry on. But we had a fab day all round, really, and I couldn't be more pleased. So of course now, you know, I'm back on it. And it's probably what I needed in a dark, cold January to kind of set me up to revive my enthusiasm for the year. But it's never easy when you're working multiple dogs, and it's never easy owning multiple dogs, but there are ways to make it easier. So I will leave you with this.
Multi-dog dynamics management. So why should you have more than one dog? This is totally up to you. I can't stress exactly just how much work it can be having more than one dog, but it really is rewarding and amazing, but only if and when you get it right. So key factors to remember: management really is everything when you've got more than one dog. Every dog is different, and planning is crucial for management. There is an exception to every rule that I say. There will always be the outlier, but I'm trying to give you a general overview of what works, what helps, and what doesn't work. Even I am always learning. We all make mistakes. We are but human, and dogs speak dog, and we're always fighting against this, as in, the dogs will always prefer the company of each other over us unless we put a lot of work in, because it's a lot easier to speak to someone who speaks the same language than having to speak your second language, which is obviously understanding humans to the dogs. Screw the judgments. If you've got lots of dogs, for example, quite often you'll end up with family members and friends going, oh God, she's got too many dogs, she's overdogged, things like that. All that it matters is that you're happy with your dogs. So the most common issues that we tend to see when you have more than one dog is that they grab onto each other's necks, particularly when greeting you or other people at times of excitement or frustration, or you get that kind of pecking on the back of the shoulder blades. This isn't aggression, this is just frustration, and the only way that they know how to display it is by taking it out on each other. Overexcitement and things such as putting leads on, feeding times, going out in the garden, barging through doorways. They always learn all the bad behaviours of the other dogs. They will always join in the bad stuff. This is why management is crucial. And a really common thing is that a lot of dogs that are in multi-dog households don't know how to cope when they're on their own. This may be when the other dog or the other dogs have gone out and they've gone to the vets, the groomers, something like that, and they have to be on their own. Sometimes when they're getting, you know, they're going crazy and everything's just getting a bit much and we're stressed as well, sometimes you just need to give it up as a bad job and go back to it with fresh eyes and energy the next day. So if your dog or dogs display any of the following, so that's pulling on lead, poor recall off lead, barking, lunging, snarling at other dogs or people, aggression issues, resource guarding, fearful of sounds or certain other things, you need to be mindful of the other dogs, or if you are considering introducing a new dog, they will pick up on all of these behaviours and perform them as well, if not better, than the ones who are already doing it, if you don't do the following. So you've got 3 options. Option 1, get a professional in to help. Train it, improve it, modify it. Even I'm always learning and going and asking for help from other professionals. Don't be afraid to ask for help. Even professionals ask for help from time to time, just like I do, always improving on my knowledge and toolbox and learning. And if the person you are going to doesn't improve on their learning or ask for help from their peers, then they don't deserve the title of being a professional. Option 2, management. What does it mean? That means to protect the good or the innocent or the good dogs from being exposed to or seeing the issue dog. So the good dogs don't see the bad dog's behaviour, essentially. This might mean walking them separately or removing the bad, for want of a better word, or the aggressive dog from the situation when triggers are present. I had to do this a lot when Ripple was a puppy to protect her from Fern's reactive behaviour. If someone came to the door or we had visitors, I would remove Fern from the situation, put her in the van, a different room, so she didn't get to interact with the person while Ripple was around, or vice versa. I'd let Fern get over herself and manage the situation while Ripple was out of the way. And once Fern had settled, I'd then bring Ripple in so she wasn't learning that strangers were danger. Without management or training, your other dog will copy what's going on, and you will end up with not twice but thrice the problem. That means that once they're both doing it, you've not only got to train them how to not do it individually, then you've got to train them how to not do it back together. So that's why it's thrice the problem. Option three, do nothing and pay the price. Have a gang of wild dogs who don't listen, who you dread walking or taking anywhere. You ban all visitors because you're so ashamed and embarrassed and live a life of misery. Hide under a rock and be ruled by the fluffy army you created yourself. I have been there and I've got through it and I've come out the other side, but this is not obviously the best option. But it is an option, but it's quite often what people go to because they don't have the skills or the time sometimes to work on it and improve it. So let's have a look at some multi-dog myths. A dog needs another dog to keep them company, particularly if you are out for long periods of time. This is a big bugbear of mine, and I do see a lot of owners who will get a second dog because they feel guilty about the first dog. Now, if they haven't got time for one dog, they certainly haven't got time for two or more. And if the dogs are left together, you know, without human interaction for long periods of time, then of course they're going to bond really closely and be less likely to listen to their owners when required. Another myth is you can't have favourites. Yes, you can. And people look at me gone out when I say this. Yes, you can have favourites. But there is a little caveat in that, which we will come on to when we start looking at characters. But yes, you can have favourites. As long as all dogs, you know, are loved, cared for, their needs are met, they get to go out on walks, they get to go out and have fun. And yes, of course, all dogs get attention. But some dogs getting more privileges than others is okay. Just be consistent with it. It's mean to just take one dog out without the other or others and leave one at home and take the rest out. No, that's life. And that's how it should be. And each dog should be used to being, you know, the odd one out from time to time, which is some of where favourites come in. But life sucks sometimes. And the dogs need to learn this as well. And if you can only ever take them all out together, the dogs never learn how to cope on their own without company. And you never know when, if you've got two dogs, you take one for something routine at the vets and you come home without them, unfortunately. And then you end up with another dog at home that is just totally lost. That is awful to see and experience and live with. Never mind your own grief, you're then having to deal with the dog's grief as well, which of course they will grieve, but they will cope a lot better if they know how to be okay on their own without the company of the other dogs. It's easier to have a second, third, fourth dog, etc. I'd say the biggest jump is to go from two dogs to three. After that, I wouldn't say it gets easier, but it's not as big a jump. It's just more skills and more time and more management. Having a second dog, even when you've just had one, yes, you know basics on how to train a dog once you've had one, but introducing the second one, the second's now got the distraction of another dog permanently. So it's got that option to speak its own language rather than prefer to speak to you. The older one will teach the puppy house training. So this is when you've introduced a new puppy and it will teach them how to be a good dog and I won't really need to train them. No, puppy is going to learn all the bad stuff, might even encourage the older dog to get into bad habits as well. And it is harder work. Getting another will teach my dog aggressive or reactive dog how to be good with other dogs. No, what I find is, most of the time, yes, you can introduce another dog, even if your dog is reactive. Whether you should is questionable because you potentially end up with two aggressive or reactive dogs without lots of management and training, and they will get on, but that does not improve their behaviour around other dogs on a walk. those other dogs on a walk are still unknown and potentially dangerous. So it doesn't change those emotions in the reactive dog. So let's have a look at manners. So this is when they're all going absolutely crazy and overexcitable and jumping up and barking and barging through doorways. Now, dogs only do what pays. So we need to start thinking about ensuring that we're just putting some manners in there. So from the basics of, if you give attention to the pushiest dog, the dog who always barges their way to the front, this behaviour pays and will encourage the others to do the same, which in time becomes a nightmare. So this is when you've come home and the dogs greet you, which you, of course you want to greet the dogs, but the one who is first there and is the most excitable, you will usually automatically give attention to, mainly just one, because you want to greet them, and two, because it kind of gets them out of your face, because once they've had that fuss, they will calm down. However, you are just making this problem worse. So try and make an effort to interact with or pay the calmer dogs for being patient, for sitting back, for being good. So this might just be the least excitable at this point, rather than a dog that just sits at the back. This practice, if done by everyone in the household, will make everything so much easier. Patience pays, pushing does not. I've mentioned this one. Life sucks sometimes. Although it's tempting to give, for example, all the dogs a treat, if you give one dog a treat, it's not great practice. The dogs need to learn that sometimes they miss out and that's okay. If we always treat them all the same, this can encourage pushy, possessive behaviour on the one occasion that they have something that the others don't. So this might be that one of the dogs has stolen something that is valuable and you're more likely to end up with scraps between the dogs because one dog's got something and the others haven't. When if you've taught them that life sucks sometimes, the whole situation will be a lot calmer. Life isn't fair sometimes, that's just life. We know this as humans and the dogs need to learn this too. So sometimes some dogs get to go out and the others get to stay at home and vice versa. Body blocking to help with general management and teaching control games. A useful tool to have is the use of your body. Dogs will use their body and posture to block the route of others. That is communication between the dogs. It's particularly useful around doorways, etc. So if they're trying to barge through a doorway, try to refrain from using your hands when doing this. Dogs will understand better when you use your body rather than your hands. After all, dogs do not use their paws in this way to communicate with each other. So when I say body blocking, I mean if they're about to barge through, you're literally blocking that doorway with your body, with your legs. And you can move quickly to try and block a small dog trying to get through, don't get me wrong. But, you know, you're not trying to do damage. I'm not saying kick them or anything like that. But dogs do respect us putting ourselves in the way. And they're less likely to try and push past us. When you've got multiple dogs anyway, you probably do this automatically. Do you know what? Life sucks sometimes. So that's the Dactastic Obedience team that I set up and I was the team leader for. I had 5 dogs at this point and only 2 of them were there. So that was lots of training sessions where I had to take 2 of them and 3 of them had to stay behind. The year after that, I had Moss and Fern doing exactly the same thing at Crufts, and I had Ripple at that point, so that meant that I had 6 dogs in total, 2 dogs were with me, and 4 dogs had to be left at home. Nothing is going to be fixed overnight. Practice and patience. A sense of humour, and usually some rum in my case, is needed. Keep calm and carry on. It is hard work to put these things in place and improve things, and it does take time, but it really is worth it. The more time you can spend with each dog individually, i.e. without the others, the better. Bond with them, that they are their own little people or their own individual souls. Remember that we're always fighting against dog speaking dog. The more dogs you have, the more they're likely to prefer each other's company. So we need to ensure that we are spending that individual time bonding with them so they're more likely to listen to us, given the option of, should we go and do fun things with the others or should we follow mum or dad? Think like a dog. Dogs seize the moment. That is dogs, that's half of why we love them. When you are next frustrated at their behaviour, consider how you can change it, how you can turn it around without shouting or barking, because that's what you're doing. You're joining in with the barking if you're shouting. Always happy to be part of the gang and follow what's fun. That's dogs. Be their fun. Play with them, train with them, chill with them more than they do with each other. This was very time consuming and hard work when I had the 6, but what I wouldn't give to have them all back again. Consider how many times your dogs have practiced the wrong thing, and then how many times you have practiced what they should be doing. Keep going. You need to tip that balance. If they're getting to practice the wrong thing between times, they will choose the wrong thing every time because that is a form habit. Management if you can't train. Going back to what I was saying at the start about that scruff or neck grabbing, it's frustration from one or more dogs being released by grabbing another dog's fur around the neck. Occasionally this may be feet or leg biting of another dog too. It's usually in times of excitement, anticipating being fed, or when you or others walk in the door. It is a hard one to fix, and normally the grabbee, i.e. the one that is being grabbed, will not correct the grabber. The grabber needs another job to perform at these times. The control games are essential, as is management. So it may just be that you just teach them in those environments to sit, for example. I wouldn't say that's probably the best way to deal with it, but it would work if you put enough time and energy into it. It might be a case of when I arrive and I expect this to happen, I want you all to go to your beds and I will come to you. That means that you are training an alternative behaviour rather than letting them just jump all over each other and grab each other's necks. You can, as a lazy option, scatter some treats on the floor when you're in a rush. And it's kind of management too, because you're not allowing them to practice the behaviour. So a lazy day protocol, my management, my training. You always need to think about what's practical when you're busy for normal kind of training and just absolute management and what other people can do as well. So this is an issue that I used to have when I had the six of them. They would rush out and bark in the garden, not all the time, but enough that it annoyed me. And obviously I was, you know, conscious of the neighbours. A good practice when I had time was doing the individual wait and release. So hang on a second. Okay, now one can go, and they'd go out in the garden and they wouldn't have the others to back them up. So they wouldn't charge and go barking as much and the energy would be a lot lower. Let them kind of have a few seconds, then release the second one. So you're training that new behaviour that they don't all go rushing out together and it's staggered. The lazy practice for this was I'd throw a handful of dry treats through the window out into the garden and then opening the back door for the dogs to go out. They'd still rush, but they wouldn't rush and bark at the end of the garden because they'd come straight round and go, ooh, food on floor, nom nom nom. And then the energy to go running and chasing to the end of the garden's gone. Lazy, but it worked. And management would be let each dog out to the toilet individually. Again, time consuming, but you know it's not going, they're not getting into bad habits. A further note about management. You need to manage every human in the home too. If the dogs are getting to practice the wrong thing with other people, then the habit is still exactly that. They are getting to practice the wrong thing, undoing all of your hard work. Does anyone know of a good trainer for the other half? So without management, things can go extremely wrong. And sometimes that frustration can tip over into serious fights if not managed correctly. If things go wrong, you're left with three options. One of them is to keep some or all of the dogs separate for the rest of their lives. This involves numerous and highly managed separate trips out to the garden, many doors being shut or baby gates in the way. This is not fun. It's doable, but it's not easy and it's definitely not stress-free. And you have to consider that if you need to go away and leave the dogs at home, you need to ensure that whoever is staying with the dogs will implement all of these practices to the letter. Going away and worrying if something's going to go wrong is worse than not going away. Your other option is to rehome one or more of the dogs. This may mean into rescue, or privately, or to a friend or family member. Now I have done this too. Just rehomed to a family member, or family member of my husband at the time. While that is nice, you also have, if it's someone that you know, the negative part of that is you have the ongoing guilt and the reminder and feeling like you are a failure. As in, you see the pictures on social media and you catch up with them from time to time. And with each picture that you see of that dog you love, you feel like you failed them. You haven't failed them. You've done the best thing for all dogs concerned to ensure that they are not constantly living in fear of another fight or harm being done. But it doesn't take away the fact that we do feel guilty. The third option, have the dog euthanized. It's self-explanatory and a horrific and difficult decision to make. Again, I have been there. She is what set me on this path, working with
dogs and owners and training and working with reactivity more than anything else. I don't regret it, but it still weighs heavy. And there we are. Just a final note. My dogs ain't perfect, nor would I want them to be. I never said I wanted robots. So I never judge other people by their control of their multi-dog household or anything like that. We're all people. We all have different lifestyles. Every dog is different. I'm just saying what you could do to help improve things. And obviously, because my dog's not perfect, I must be a crap dog trainer.
Maybe that's give you some food for thought. And if you've got any kind of multi-dog issues, questions, comments, then as always, just reach out. I'd love to hear from you. As I say, I'm sorry that I've not got all these guests quite yet, but please hang tight. They are coming. There's a couple of particular ones that I'm like, oh my God, I need to keep it under my heart. I can't say anything. So I will speak to you all soon. And yeah, have a great week, everyone.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Dog Gone Wrong podcast. If you could do me a quick favour, like or follow the pod, rate and leave a review, and maybe share with a dog-owning friend. Let's get the word out there and ensure there is less guilt around the mistakes. Thank you again, and we'll be back next week.